exact water quality. CurrentCast is produced in partnership with Cornell's Atkinson Center for a Sustainable Future. Learn more online at currentcast.org.
Now is your chance to show support for the work our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us now are Ken Jones and Annette Newell to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Welcome back to our Holiday Membership Drive Central. I'm Ken Jones. I'm with my partner, Annette Newell.
Hi, good to be here.
And we're very glad you're listening to KBOO. KBOO goes back to about 1968, all that time in Portland. And the reason it exists still, Annette, is the same business model. It's contributions from members. 80% of our operating budget, which is not that much every year, it's about $1 million or so. That's a two-martini lunch at Fox News or something. And it's all due to members like you, 80% of that. And if you're not currently a member, or if it's time to renew your membership, please give us a call at 877-500-5266. We have people at the phones. They can walk you through the process. We would very much like a sustaining membership, and that's giving an amount, say, like $10 a month, $120 a year. And we could do that through a credit card, a debit card, electronic fund transfer through your bank account. Make it as painless as possible. You tell us what works best for you. The people at the phones, again, can walk you through the process. But give them a call now, 877-500-5266.
And our theme this time is Do Good Radio for the KBOO Holiday Membership Drive. And what we mean by that is you're doing good in the community. And part of that is the KBOO Evening News, which Ken and I are both privileged to work with. And we actually anchor during the day, during the weekdays from 5 to 6 o'clock. And we also do producing and writing and interviewing. And it's just a really wonderful thing that we can do because you don't have any commercials. It's just a whole hour of content, of really good local news content. And it's something that we're really privileged to be a part of. So remember, every dollar you send to us matters. You're doing good in your community with that support. You can just contribute $5, $10, $20 a month. It makes a huge, huge difference. So here's that number to call one more time. It's 877-500-5266.
And of course, it's not just supporting our weekly news. That would be very selfish of us, wouldn't it? It supports everything else that we do. Most of our programming is local. Mm-hmm. There's public affairs in the morning. A lot of the afternoon shows are music. Late night, there's all sorts of music. There's radio theater. There's interviews all over the place. Plus, our syndicated shows are ones that we feel are important to the community, like Amy Goodman's Democracy Now, which airs every weekday at 7 a.m. and 4 p.m. And your membership money supports all those shows. So please give us a call at 877-500-5266. We have people at the phones. They'll walk you through the process, $10 a month, $5 a month. Whatever you can afford, and it's the subscription model now, you know, unfortunately, the Netflix and all that, and we've adopted something similar. So again, that number to call, 877-500-5266, or online at kboo.fm.
A county attorney has decided the fatal shooting of a northern Arapaho man in Wyoming was justified in yet another case of internal reviews finding the police not at fault. With that story and more, it's Megan Kamrick with National Native News, the daily newscast dedicated to Indigenous news, issues, and culture.
This is National Native News. I'm Megan Kamrick, in for Antonia Gonzalez. 2 months after a northern Arapaho man was fatally shot by police in Wyoming, the attorney for Fremont County announced recently the officer's actions were justified and that his office would not take further action on the case. Wyoming Public Media reports 58-year-old Anderson Antelope was killed outside a Walmart in Riverton. Fremont County Attorney Patrick LeBrun said Antelope was intoxicated and would not comply with the officer's orders. He said Antelope tried to stab the officer in the chest, but the officer's armored vest prevented it from penetrating. LeBrun said the officer, whose name still has not been released, had no other option but to shoot. But family members say they doubt Antelope was a threat. They said he had a brain injury that resulted in bouts of confusion, and he suffered from chronic alcoholism. Family and community members want the name of the officer released, as well as body camera or surveillance footage. The county coroner plans to conduct a public inquest that would allow a jury of three citizens to review evidence and make a judgment on the cause of death. LeBrun opposes that plan, saying it would not serve any purpose and would delay the healing process. Organizers of a proposed charter school in North Carolina centered around an indigenous curriculum remain hopeful their application will be revived by the State Board of Education this week. The school's application was rejected by an advisory panel last month because its members thought the curriculum was too divisive. The school intends to use red pedagogy based on a book that's critical of how the U.S. government treated Native Americans throughout history. Dr. Brenda Dial Deese is vice chair of the proposed Old Main Stream Academy. She told Native America Calling she hopes the Board of Education sees the value and importance of the school.
Well, what we're asking is to become developmentally appropriate and still have that rigor, but to integrate the relevancy, the indigenous pieces that exist that are historical, and they're becoming not known because the community is not in the schools any longer.
The charter school originally aimed to start next year with as many as 200 K through 4th grade students. They plan to expand to at least 400 students in 5 years. One member of the charter school advisory board expressed concerns the school didn't focus enough on the greatness of America. A bill establishing federal recognition for the Lumbee tribe is getting its first committee hearing in the U.S. House of Representatives on Wednesday. The bill was introduced in March and still has a number of hurdles to clear. Tribal leaders say they have secured bipartisan support from elected leaders in both the House and the Senate. It amends the original 1956 congressional action that purported to recognize the Lumbee, but failed to secure adequate legal protections for the benefits that other federally recognized tribes have. In Wyoming, the Eastern Shoshone tribe is exploring legalizing medical marijuana and hemp production. The Casper Star Tribune reports the tribe's general council voted in September to allow a group of several Eastern Shoshone members to create a plan that could be voted on. Members have been meeting for about 6 months, and they told the Star Tribune there are no plans to legalize recreational marijuana. They said their goal is to encourage tribal sovereignty to, quote, execute and stimulate tribal self-reliance. Advocates argue hemp production and cannabis-related businesses could diversify the economy on the Wind River Reservation and offer alternative treatments for certain medical ailments. Other tribes are following this path. The Yurok tribe in California is developing regulations for hemp cultivation. The St. Croix Chippewa Indians in Wisconsin plan to grow hemp in order to manufacture CBD oil. Under a 2014 federal law, tribes are treated as states in enforcing marijuana laws, so federal officials generally will not interfere. Tribes must get approval from the U.S. Department of Agriculture for hemp production plans. USDA also approved a plan for Wyoming to allow farmers to start growing hemp in 2020. For National Native News, I'm Megan Kamrick.
Holidays? KBOO News poet Dan Raphael is worried about the elections.
Kamala Harris dropped out of the presidential race. Pete Buttigieg keeps pulling in corporate donors, and a candidate who's raised the most money and leads some polls can't even get mentioned on public broadcasting, Bernie Sanders. The chief advantage incumbents have is not being shredded by members of their own party in debates and primaries. Feels like the script's already written. Past presidential elections have been stolen. When people are denied their votes in various ways, when the billions of dollars spent on campaigns could help so many needy people and infrastructure, instead of assuring as many people vote as possible, we get this hollow let's pretend democracy. The rich believing occasional elections are a panacea for rebellion. Last year, lifespan went up in every affluent country but ours. Much of the population's worn down by job hells, health care hells, increased suicides, addictions, and hopelessness. They could cancel the election, and we couldn't do enough about it. For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.
We don't fill up your newscast with ads, but we do need your support to keep this local newscast coming to your airwaves and webstream. Joining us now, once again, are Annette Newell and Ken Jones to talk about how you, yes, you, can support KBOO Community Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to some Do Good Radio here at the KBOO Holiday Membership Drive 2019. You're listening to KBOO. It's our holiday drive right now. Of course, KBOO is funded by our listeners, and we are asking you to go to that phone right now and pick it up. Call this number, 877-500-5266, or you can go online if you'd like to do it that way, kboo.fm, and become a member. I'm Annette Newell, And I'm here with Ken, and we're both from the KBOO News Department.
Yeah, we do a weekly volunteer-produced newscast, and every day of the weekday at 5 p.m., and that's preceded by Amy Goodman's syndicated show, Democracy Now! Our newscast is volunteer-produced. We cover stories I don't think are covered by a lot of other outlets, certainly not locally, and we try to concentrate on those local stories. And all of that is supported by members like you through your membership money. If you're not currently a member, it's time to member up at 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. And Annette, we have people at the phones now. They can walk you through the process. Mm-hmm. It's we encourage a sustaining membership, so say $10 a month, that's $120 a year, and that could come out. You can come down to the station, give us cash every month, but that wouldn't be all that convenient unless you lived a block away. But you can also do it through a credit card, a debit card, electronic fund transfer for your bank account, and the people, the phones, know all that, and they can walk you through the process. So please give them a call at 877-500-5266 to keep this great programming, this do-good radio, going another 50 years.
Yeah, we're doing good for the community. You're helping us do good by contributing to the cause here at KBOO. Again, dial 877-500-5266. Again, you can go online. We welcome those contributions, too, of course, at kboo.fm. We are listener-supported community radio. That's not the same thing as public or commercial radio. We don't get money from the government. We don't get money from advertisers. You notice when you listen to our station, it's a very different experience. It's very local, and it's really special. There aren't very many stations like this in the country.
Yeah, we cover stories that only independent media can cover, certainly from that perspective. Mm-hmm. Even something like a public broadcasting network, they've gotten some underwriting through oil companies, so you're not going to really hear anti-fracking mm-hmm. programs on those. I found that pretty interesting. But KBOO, we've done reports on that. Mm-hmm. I've done interviews in small towns in Texas where they've gotten together, and these are conservative towns, and banned fracking, and mm-hmm. then the Texas state legislature actually got together and prevented towns and municipalities from individually banning fracking. So they were kind of overruled, but we've talked to people like that, people who are doing grassroots work and giving voice to people who don't normally have voice on mainstream media, and all of that is supported by your membership money. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
In honor of our end-of-year drive, we would like to present some of our favorite interviews from the past year. This story comes to us from back in July. Jana Jihad is the 13-year-old Palestinian activist who has often been called the youngest journalist in the world. In her activism, Jihad's goal is to spread awareness about the crisis in her hometown of Nabi Saleh, Palestine. There, she lives with the daily impact of war bombings and Israeli occupation. KBOO's Mackenzie Beard spoke with Jihad about her work, her aspirations, and the liberation of Palestine.
From here, from the Mongol Jihad to occupy Palestine.
My name is Jihad. I'm 13 years old. I live in Nabi Saleh, which is a village of 500 people in Palestine, and I'm the youngest registered press card carrying journalist in the world.
How did you get started?
I started when I was 7 years old, when I saw that when I realized that there were not enough journalists to cover things that happened in my village in Nabi Saleh. When my son Mustafa was killed, Ma'an Khurshi was killed, a lot of things started to happen in the world and didn't know about our feelings as children living under the Israeli military occupation and how we're suffering every single day. So I wanted to be the voice of those children and just send their message to the whole world. And after that, I started making my reports and posting them, and that's how I started.
Describe a typical day in your life in the occupied territories.
So it's pretty hard living under occupation. Like, you wake up at 3 a.m. on the sounds of gas canisters or on the night raids for, like, Israeli soldiers coming to arrest you or arrest your family members or your friends. And then you wake up like that, and after that, sometimes we cannot sleep. And after that, we go to our schools. We face checkpoints. I faced 3 checkpoints on my way to school. So instead of me reaching my school in about 25 to 30 minutes with checkpoints, I have to go to another way that takes me about 2.5 to 3 hours to reach my school. And it's not only a struggle for me as a child, but it's also a struggle for a lot of people. Like, for example, my grandma started doing kinesiologist 2 years ago after her inhaling a lot of gas, because they usually shoot it randomly, and she has to go to the hospital 3 times a week, and then sometimes she cannot go because of that. A lot of women gave birth the checkpoints, and in their cars, a lot of patients cannot go to the hospital. A lot of workers cannot go to their work. So it's pretty hard for us to reach the place we need to be in at time.
You saw what was happening in your community and around Palestine, and you decided to make a change. That's incredible. So when you were first getting started to become a spokesperson and advocate for your community, how did you go about doing that? And how did you know where to start?
Demonstration, nonviolent resistance. It was a normal Friday, and then I was at the demonstration, and then I got my mom's phone and then started recording.
Can you talk a little bit about why you're using technology and social media and how it's helped you spread your message?
Of course, I'm using technology and social media because, like, right now it's like the platform for everything. And I believe it's one of the amazing ways to send their message. And it helped me to reach, like, for my message to reach the world and to raise more awareness about this very important and international issue. Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, everything.
Do you find that other activists have done the same thing?
Of course, a lot of people use social media, a lot of activists, and I'm one of them.
Who has influenced you most in your life?
My mom, she was like one of my great role models because, like, she's always been an activist, and also the demonstrations. She was born while her dad was in jail, and it's just super inspiring.
And how has life in Palestine affected your family?
It affects every single family and every single person in Palestine to live under occupation, because, like, we saw people getting killed in front of us, saw people getting arrested, we got arrested, we got injured. So it's that we're not living like any other child around this world or any other human.
So how has the war impacted kids specifically in your area?
Children getting they get killed, injured, and arrested, and also they lose their childhood. Like, even when we're trying to live our childhood, we cannot live, we cannot play. If we wanted to go outside and play, we could. The Israeli soldiers sometimes come and start shooting at us because of us trying to play soccer in the middle of the street.
So then, how has your family reacted to the work that you're doing?
My family is one of the, like, number one supporters and fans. Yeah, I love them.
How do you respond to the people that are saying that you're too young to be doing the work that you do?
Of course, I am too young to do the work that I'm doing, but for us as Palestinian children, as I said, we're not living our childhood. And, like, even when we're trying to live it, we cannot live our childhood, and we're not living like any other child around this world. So I need a fight for the next generation to live their childhood.
Since you started, you said you were 7, correct?
Yeah.
How have you seen the occupation in Palestine evolve?
Since I started, I did change stuff. Like, for example, a lot of people started knowing more about Palestine. They came to the village, a lot of stuff. Of course, like, I was born in 2006. A lot of stuff has changed. More walls, more checkpoints, more killings, more arresting.
Your focus is getting the message out about what's happening in Palestine, and you're using technology in such an incredible way to do that. So how can people in the United States learn more real information about Israel and Palestine and what's happening?
Like, of course, they can come to Palestine and see what's happening in their own eyes. And just, I wish that they can be the voice of those children and just send the message of the thing that they are going to see. And they're welcome to Nabi Saleh. Our houses are open. Yeah.
What do you hope to see happen in Palestine and in the world in the next 10 years with the work that you're doing?
I hope with the work that every Palestinian is doing that we can be part of liberating Palestine, because I don't want to live the next 10 years under occupation. Like, I want to live a normal life.
What would you like to do as you get older? How would you like to use your activism later in life?
I will be a journalist, and also in the university, what I'm going to study is, my major is going to be political science, and my minor is going to be gender studies.
What drew you to gender studies then?
You know, I'm a feminist. So, like, I love to know more about genders and, like, what's happening in the world, how we can solve the problems, the inequality that is happening around.
So then, going on with gender and being a feminist, how has being a young girl in Palestine affected you? Do you see your male peers being treated any differently?
My family is with equality and everything, but I see a lot of getting better, you know? Like, even, like, I see the same thing is happening also in America. Like, a lot of people are sexist, a lot of people are against sexism, and that's what's happening in Palestine. The occupation doesn't even, you know, care if it's a woman or a child or a man, that they're going to shoot or arrest or even kill or anything.
Mm-hmm. So we're working to help protect everyone. That's incredible. So talk about your speaking tour. Where have you traveled, and what are you speaking about?
So I just started my speaking tour two weeks ago. I've been to New Jersey, New York, and Washington, D.C. I'm right now in Washington. And I'm going, we're going to go to Detroit, Chicago, San Francisco, Portland, Oregon, Florida. We're going to travel around the state for a speaking tour.
So what are you talking about then?
I'm basically to raise awareness about what's happening in Palestine.
So what are some of the main talking points that you're trying to get your message across?
How we're losing our childhood, child prisoner issues, the violation of our rights, how we're not getting our freedom of movement, our freedom of speech, military occupation.
So how are the crowds responding then to what you're saying?
There are a lot of people who are super supportive, and of course we will always find people that are against us, but like, why can look at the negative while we have a positive?
What are some of the main questions that people are asking you on your tour so far? What do they want to know about?
You know how I started the situation in the West Bank, because I live in the West Bank.
If you had a message, if you could say something to all the kids listening out there, what would you say to them?
So I'd say that we are the leaders of today, the leaders of tomorrow, so let's all unite and put hand to hand to make this world a world of peace, a world of love, a world of equality and justice, to not repeat the elders and the leaders right now's mistakes. They're all separated and divided, but we have to all unite to liberate Palestine and to just let every single child in this world live the life they deserve to live. Occupation is also not caring about the children, and they're killing children. We also have the right to speak and send our message, and as I said, we're not living our childhood, so we're basically trying to send this message, and we're not living our childhood. Even if we didn't do that, either ways, we're not living our childhood. So let's do the better thing and send this message.
So then what's your biggest life goal?
To be part of liberating Palestine, to make a change in this world.
How can our listeners at KBOO help support what you're doing?
There are a lot of stuff. You guys can come to Palestine. Also, well, we have an initiative called Transcend, which is basically that we did 2 years ago, and we do campaigns every year. We do campaigns all the time, and right now our main campaign is the educational campaign, which is basically an educational fund for the children. For example, the Gaza students that live in Gaza are under siege, and they cannot go to their universities or to their schools and like all stuff. So we're always trying to help them, because as Nelson Mandela said, education is the most powerful weapon that is used to change the world.
So if you had one final message for our listeners, what would it be?
I would want them to know that we as Palestinian children just want to live like any normal child around this world.
That was Jana Jihad, a 13-year-old Palestinian journalist covering the occupation of the West Bank. For KBOO News, I'm Mackenzie Beard.
From the river to the sea!
From the river to the sea!
Palestine will be free!
Palestine will be free!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast includes Dan Raphael. The producer is Nat Moon. Special thanks to Ken Jones and Annette Newell. Our engineer is Althea Billings. Our evening news director is also Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Erin J. Bernard.
And I'm Nat Moon. Coming up Thursday morning on KBOO, it's at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, it's Voices from the Edge, progressive talk radio from a grassroots perspective. At 9, it's Press Watch with Teresa Mitchell, bringing you the news you're not supposed to know. At 10, Fight the Empire, connecting colonial history with the latest world events. At 11, it's Black Book Talk, where hosts Emma Jackson Ford, O.B. Hill, and Patricia Welch will be taking your calls to talk about books by Black authors you'd like to give or receive this holiday season. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm or use our mobile app and click on Donate.
Coming up next is From the Vault, Feminism. But first, we go back to Annette Newell and Ken Jones once more to talk about supporting people-powered community radio, the only 100% volunteer-hosted station in Oregon.
Well, hello there. You are listening to KBOO Portland, and it's our holiday drive. KBOO is funded by our listeners, and we're asking you to go to the phone right now and dial this number, 877-500-5266, or you can go online to kboo.fm and become a member. I'm Annette Newell.
And I'm Ken Jones, and we do the 5 p.m. weekly newscast on KBOO. It's a volunteer-produced newscast, and we cover stories in it, as you know, since you've been doing it for many years, that other media outlets in Portland do not cover.
And we get a wonderful whole hour-long chunk of time with no commercial interruptions to do this stuff.
That includes interviews. We have reporters, actually, they go out into the field and they'll with their digital tape recorder. It's not a tape recorder, digital recorder, and bring that back here and edit. And those are skills, actually, that reporters learn at KBOO. We have classes in digital editing. We have classes in audio production. We have classes in remote recording and interviewing. Annette, all those are free.
And can you actually teach some of those classes? And I think that's something that you really enjoy doing.
Oh, it's one of the most fun things I can do here. Yeah.
Yeah. So one more time, call in to us on this holiday drive. It's 877-500-5266. By supporting KBOO, you're supporting radio that's relevant to the real people, the real issues of Portland. You give us the power to do good in our community, and you keep this community alive with your membership by supporting what matters here.
And you can come down, as we said, to get training. There's a volunteer orientation every month. We always welcome people. There's almost endless number of things that you can do in KBOO. It's not just going on the air and having a program or doing the news. There's writing the news. There's producing. There's editing. There's all sorts of public affairs shows. There's board opping. And we could really use your help. You're contributing to the community. If you can't contribute time, it's great to contribute money as part of a membership, and we've been doing that, amazingly enough, membership supported since 1968.
And one thing we really love is that we're able to spend a lot of time on issues that are important to the houseless community, for example, for indigenous news, a lot of communities of color that aren't necessarily always well representative in other media. So
exactly.
We definitely want to have other voices that don't always get heard.
And that's really a big charter of the radio station, is to give voice to those voices that are not heard on more mainstream, I hate that term, mainstream media, but more commercial outlets or even OPB. And Annette mentioned some of them, but we have multitude of what I would call sub-communities here, mm-hmm. or community-lets. Those are the people that we try to get their voices on the air. And you can support all that by giving us a call at 877-500-5266 or going online at kboo.fm.
And thank you for allowing us to amplify the voices of our community.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5:58. Coming up next is going to be From the Vault, which will be showcasing some of the feminist efforts throughout history that help shape the efforts we are seeing today. But first, a few messages.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
KABU would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bridges Cafe and Catering, located at 2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Bridges Cafe and Catering is a restaurant and catering company located in Northeast Portland on the corner of MLK and Northeast Knott Street. Their kitchen is about 75% organic, open daily. Lunch was provided by Por Que No Taqueria, located in North Portland at 3524 North Mississippi Ave. Por Que No Taqueria has been serving Portland since 2005 and has been committed to both the communities and the food that they serve. More information online at porquenotacos.com. Dinner was provided by Scotty's Pizza Parlor, located at 2128 Southeast Division Street in the Hosford-Abernethy neighborhood of Portland. Serving pizza, desserts, and more, Scotty's is open every day from 11:30 to 9 p.m. For more information on how you can support KABU, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right now.
Throughout history, women have suffered many injustices in the workplace, including unequal wages, unsafe work conditions, and predatory sexual harassment from male administrators. By early 2018, there have been some encouraging steps taken to change this, most notably in Hollywood and politics, where courageous women coming forward and speaking up has resulted in the exposure to this institutional crisis in workplace safety for women. On this week's From the Vault, we help make sense of some of the feminist efforts throughout history that help shape the efforts we are seeing today. First, we will play a program from 1982 called Feminism in the 1800s and featuring author Ellen Du Bois, who writes about Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Susan B. Anthony, Mary Wollstonecraft, Frances Wright, and others. Then we'll play the